We got breaking news. The FBI spyware plans exposed.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
FBI Director Christopher Wray testified last December that the agency would use a spyware tool called Pegasus only for research and development. So that's R&D, right? But newly obtained documents reveal the FBI weighed using it to track Americans.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
So what is Pegasus spyware? It's a phone hacking tool that penetrates mobile devices and extracts the contents. This includes everything: messages, photos, contacts, and video.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo, folks. We're taking your calls too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So Democrat Senator Rod Wyden, he's a big privacy advocate when it comes to tech and law enforcement especially. He's been a critic of the FBI as well, so I want to give him those proper shout-outs. I'm not sure if he's always a critic when it's Republicans who are the target of the FBI, but at least it is when it's just American citizens. And what we see now is this software program called Pegasus. And Logan, this is basically a program that allows the FBI, utilizing probably some kind of spyware, but more sophisticated, to and it was created in Israel, to, without having to touch your phone, get every piece of information from your phone and continue to track everything new in your phone. So not just your emails, not just your text, not just your encrypted, what you think is encrypted, right, chats and those different apps, but it continues on. And he was asked, you know, are you using this in the U.S.? He said, oh, it's just for research and development because we need to know if the bad guys are using it, how they might use it, and we might learn some things from it as well. Then we learn that they were actually about to deploy it. Guess what time? Late 2020, early 2021, right around what? Election time 2020, and the post-January 6th stuff. But here's the problem. There's really no legal way to use this against an American unless you consider them a foreign agent and get a FISA warrant that's secret. Because, yes, the FBI can seize your phone and your data, but they cannot do it without a search warrant. We have a Fourth Amendment. Now, can they do it to foreign citizens? Yes. So you can use this to track terrorists abroad. There's legitimate reasons, but who's going to trust this FBI with this technology?
No, I think this technology
unfortunately, you can't trust them.
It's a bit of a wake-up call, but it's also, we kind of knew this kind of thing existed. Look, we spent a long time on Secular Brothers yesterday talking about TikTok and how they're using not dissimilar things within that app to track and to gather data. The difference is this isn't just data gathering to serve you ads or to come up with something. This is for intent of spying. Now, like you said, there are reasons that this kind of thing would be necessary with foreign entities and terrorist cells, and there are things where this could help. It's sort of the catch-22 of something like the Patriot Act that we've talked about for decades now. But the situation as it unfolds also just proves that you have to be very careful in what you're putting in writing, what you're typing, what you're taking pictures of, because there's a lot of ways things can be accessed. And if the FBI has free reign to do this, and we know they've had a decent amount of corruption in their ranks, that it just really hurts the safety. But we also are mobilizing, I know, our FOIA team. We've talked about that a bit.
Absolutely. So this is part of the work of the ACLJ. We see this. We don't just say, oh, let's talk about it on radio. We do want to do that. What do you think about the FBI having the power? They have it right now. They bought the software. By the way, who else could buy the software? You know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure it's great software to use against terrorism.
Yeah.
But what about bad private actors, cartels, you can imagine, those big mafia groups and organized crime? But what do you think about the FBI utilizing this? Because as I told you, the only way they could really utilize this is against foreign citizens. We are all protected as Americans with the Fourth Amendment, which means they got to provide a search warrant that you can see before they take your phone. They can't take it after they provide you the warrant. So they have to go get a warrant from a judge, show probable cause. You understand, folks.
Yeah, we have some clips we'll play when we get back, too. Some really kind of interesting clips from the Homeland Security hearings.
Do you trust the FBI with this technology? 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. That's 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're going to do something about this, folks. Start with FOIA. Go from there. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Be part of our matching challenge. to Secular. We are taking your phone calls, too, on this at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let me set the stage for you. U.S. government. Well, let's play the pipe. Hear them in their own words. This is Secretary Mayorkas answering a question by Benny Thompson, who is a Democrat from Mississippi. So not a Republican putting him on the spot. Take a listen, Bite 5.
Secretary Mayorkas, last year you said that, quote, domestic violent extremism poses the most lethal and persistent terrorism-related threat to our country today. Is that still true?
Mr. Chairman, that continues to be our assessment in the Department of Homeland Security, that domestic violent extremism, particularly through lone actors or small groups loosely affiliated, are spurred to violence by ideologies of hate, anti-government sentiments, personal grievances, and other narratives propagated on online platforms.
Personal grievances, I don't even know if that would fall under domestic violent extremism. Personal grievances. Usually when you think violent domestic extremism, it's more focused at something that is bigger than one
terror
person.
Terror attacks or...
But here's the problem.
Mass shootings, those kind of things.
We're talking about Pegasus. You take up arms against the United States, guess what you lose? Constitutional protections.
Yeah.
You'll just go back to civil
war. So it totally depends on how that is defined.
So if you define someone as a domestic violent extremist, then are they like the same person as someone who works for like a foreign government? Have they lost their, given up their U.S. rights in a sense?
Yeah.
Unknowingly, it could happen.
Yeah, just because they decided to support a certain political candidate.
Thus they contracted without getting a search warrant.
It sounds like that, if I'm being honest. I mean, the fact that, you know, our producer came in and was talking about DVEs, and I was like, the fact that they've made that a common thing that people say.
So many acronyms.
That should say a lot. Because I've never heard that being thrown around, DVEs, domestic violent extremism. That is just putting a label on a group of people. Sure, are there legitimate domestic violent extremists? Of course. Are there a lot of people who have been labeled that are certainly not? Also, of course.
Yeah.
It all depends on what? The media? Who's deciding? Where's the line? These are when there's gray areas, and the gray areas are really, they're too politically motivated.
Let's put the photo up. We got... FBI, suddenly, the Republicans are one seat away from taking the House.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI's released an image of one of the attackers in Jane's Revenge who attacked and firebombed that Buffalo pro-life pregnancy center. They're now actually trying to find the person.
Oh, I haven't seen this.
How many months later was that? 6? There it is.
All right, we're watching the video if you're watching. It's going to a car, setting a situation, running away.
Smashing, mm-hmm. Fire. There's the Molotov cocktail.
Mm-hmm. Why'd he put the mask on after?
Probably didn't know how far the cameras.
Maybe.
Could have been more than one person, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did that take them
months to reveal?
Right.
Yeah.
Because
they don't care about the pro-life pregnancy center.
That's domestic violent extremism, by the
yes.
way, folks. Now, is it the type that you should lose your U.S. citizenship? No. You still have rights. You're a criminal, but you have rights.
You should go to jail.
Absolutely, you should go to jail.
Yeah. Prison.
You should be prosecuted. You get, innocent until proven guilty.
They caught that person, or is this just footage they're just putting out there?
There's like a license plate probably blocked.
Looking for him. Yeah. It's like
6 months later. This happened before the official Roe decision, I think, even came out, right? This was like
around that time, yeah.
So this was one of the most egregious because they used a Molotov cocktail to blow up.
I mean, it's pretty horrifying when you watch it.
Yeah. That's a pro-life pregnancy center.
Yeah, and we know...
So tell me about domestic violent extremism.
They've been attacked the pro-life pregnancy centers for legitimately just doing good work in their community. Even if you disagree with their political point of view, I don't see how you look at them and go, well, those are evil people. It's pretty disturbing that that's even a part of the conversation.
How about the fentanyl dealers? I would put them in a category of violent extremists
because
they're trying to kill Americans.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully they're on track. I mean, sadly, just like the crisis pregnancy center, it's become, for some reason, a conservative talking point to talk against fentanyl.
I know. It's very weird. It's like, this just kills Americans. Doesn't matter what your politics.
No.
Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter if you're from a bad area of town or a good area of town.
Because it's about the border.
Doesn't matter if you're healthy.
That's what
or
they'll
not.
Say. It's right. About the border. But it's not about the border. I mean, it is in
well,
general.
Involves the Chinese and the border. Two things they don't want to talk about negatively. They love the Chinese. And they love, because they make so much money off doing business with them. And they love the open borders.
It's the weird liberal heart that I don't understand. And I've been trying to struggle. I struggle with it because I go, okay, I understand that you don't, that you see people flooding across the border and you want there to be, you know, people have freedom in our country that they don't get in other places. I understand that part of it. I do. I don't understand when you see the chaos that it's causing and the death it's causing, destruction. And look, I can see sort of on the flip side, maybe on the COVID front, similar where it feels like people were blind to the actual destruction that it was causing. I don't understand this one. I don't understand how, like you said, we see this video of a pro-life pregnancy center getting bombed. We're seeing millions of people die from COVID and from the fentanyl crisis. And the fentanyl crisis.
What about, you know, Paul Pelosi's attack? What about the guy who was trying to assassinate Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you, his name.
Right.
But I know everything about DePape.
Yeah, you know how he's gone from this
liberal
Canadian to a conspiracy theory.
That's the headlines you see everywhere. Right. Those guys are created as these almost cartoon villains that we're used to seeing in Batman. But the ones who are on the other side, it's too political. And that's the big concern with this, with the FBI, is that this will be a political tool, not a tool actually to stop real domestic terrorism, which, again, is almost like the tables have turned. When you looked at the formation of the Patriot Act back in 2001, that was a highly conservative move. Same with war. Those are things that have now shifted dramatically, where the more liberal side of it are the more pro-war, and they are more pro-surveillance and stopping people that they consider to be bad. And the conservatives are out there.
They quickly do it. Like, they go 100% behind Ukraine without doing any research.
Yeah.
And I get, again, Zelensky is a persuasive figure.
Yeah. Some of that's heart. Some of that is good heart.
Yes.
And I appreciate
Mike Pompeo spoke about it last night. He said, you know, the thing about Ukraine is this. We need them to win because we need to beat the idea of Russia being this great power.
We can do this.
Okay. And, you know, so that's one thing. But number two is he did say it's a very corrupt country. So while we should support them through these efforts, when it's over, to become a real ally, which they're not part of NATO yet, all of that, you know, they've got a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Democrats, like, if you say that, they think you're pro-Russian.
Yeah.
Now, listen to what I just said, though. I just said we need to help them win so that we can then help them clean up their country.
Ukraine sadly became a flavor of the week for that part of that part of social media and the internet. Some of it was because, look, I mean, obviously you see the imagery, everything that happened. You want to get behind it. You want to support people who are unjustly. But you're right. It becomes a hero worship and almost idolatry very quickly instead of actually looking at the facts. And look, I know nothing of good or bad. I mean, there's both probably all political leaders, whether that's Zelensky or whether that is.
It's not even so much him. It's that it's just a highly corrupt country. Everyone knew that before.
Right.
So don't put him on too much of a pedestal.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
They're fighting a bad guy. So that's the right pedestal. But this is not like the perfect place.
Yeah. And you especially start hero worshiping.
Right.
And
they're human beings.
And I'm interested to, they're human beings in a part of the world we don't really understand if you're Americans.
You know, we don't think Eastern. We think Western. Yeah. We love putting people on the pedestal.
We don't even really understand Europe, I feel like most Americans, much less.
Even Western Europe.
Western Europe, than Eastern Europe. Then
it's a totally different way of thinking about everything.
Right.
Just culturally.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that...
Not wrong or right, just culturally.
There are things that are happening in Russia and in Ukraine that if we're happening in America, there would be riots in the streets, and it's just the normal laws there.
And normal life.
And normal life,
just accept that as part of life. Yeah. Life is kind of dark and cold and dreary.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll take some calls, though, too, like coming up.
The fairy tales of the bears.
Yes. Oh, exactly.
It's all kind of, it's a different kind of darkness. Our fairy tales are dark, too.
Mm-hmm.
Theirs are even, like, next level.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of come off of the Germanic fairy tales. The next one they are coming from are a little bit different. We will be taking some phone calls.
That's right.
1-800-684-3110.
We've got a great update.
Love to hear your thoughts.
Work in Pakistan as well. We're going to get to that. But yeah, I really want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah.
The idea that this power is inside the hands of the government as we speak.
Yeah.
They could start tracking, not just tracking your phone's location. We are talking about every single thing on your phone.
Keystrokes.
All the time. Not at one time. Not like they grab it. Oh, we've got it for now. But indefinitely in the future.
Yeah, give us a call. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that device. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Also, later in the show, We are going to discuss that big announcement that is coming tonight, potentially from President Trump. Hold off if you're going to call about that. We're going to open the lines at a certain point. Probably about two segments from now, we'll open the lines to take calls on that. And at the end of the show, we'll discuss that potential announcement. I mean, some sort of announcement's coming. We all think we know what it is. Love to hear what people's thoughts are, but do that a little bit later. Call now about the FBI and tracking and all of that. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go to aclj.org. We don't let any of these stones get unturned. And that's why you have an incredible team. I wish, like I said, you could see beyond these cameras. You'd see the best of the best in every department we do here at the ACLJ. And that doesn't happen without the support of you as one of our donors. Go to aclj.org. Matching challenge right now.
Welcome back to Secure. We're going to take your calls in just a minute. I know we got calls in on Ukraine. Fentanyl, we're even going to take calls later about this, the big announcement tonight. I think it's at 9 p.m. It is at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Most people know what it is. We'll take some calls and reactions to that. Do you think it's the right time, the wrong time, if it's the actual announcement? CeCe, I wanted to go to you. We've got another victory update to report out of our office in Pakistan. We're going to be bringing a lot more content to people so they can see these victories. I think we've got images, too, of this family. Let's tell the story and then what happened.
Yeah, this is a great and interesting story. It's a great victory. There was a Christian family at the beginning of the year. The Christian wife actually left her family, her husband, her three-year-old daughter, and her six-month-old son, and ran off with a Muslim man. About a month later, the Muslim man started calling the Christian husband and threatening him to convert to Islam or else. He shows up at his house with a gun, and the neighbors hear it and actually run him off. So just the threats continued. And in September, the Muslim man actually abducted the Christian man and his little daughter, took him to their house, had hundreds of Muslims there, threatening him, beating the Christian man, actually asked the little girl who she wanted to live with, her mother or her father, and this sweet little three-year-old girl said, "I want to live with my papa and Jesus' papa." They were so angry at that they pushed her, dislocated her shoulder, and slapped her. They went to the police. The police said they could do nothing. So for about two months, they were basically in hiding, fearing for their life, sleeping on people's floors, friends, neighbors' floors. And then they heard about our office in Pakistan. They came to our office. We were able to immediately get them into a safe house. And then we sent off applications to several high officials, the Minister of Interior, Inspector General of Punjab, the Home Secretary, and the Ministry of Human Rights, seeking an application seeking protection. And amazingly, within 10 days, the Inspector General's office called and said that they had directed the police to protect this family, which is a huge win.
And we've got the photo here of the family so people can see it. So you can see blurred faces. That, again, is to make sure, because we had to put the children in an orphanage, the father in a safe house. They're now reunited. The family, the daughter, and we've got a video interview of this family.
Yep.
The oldest daughter, who you can see standing, saw her father being beat by about 200 men and was even told by those groups, come with us, become a Muslim and convert. And she refused to leave her dad's side.
Just crazy.
Really wild stories, sad stories, but because of what we're doing in Pakistan, the people responsible are going to jail. They're getting in trouble. I mean, we've got life sentences. We've got 25 years in prison, in a Pakistani prison. I mean, that sends a big message to even the Muslim majority there, especially out in some of these more rural areas. You do this, you could be giving your life away.
Yeah, some of the incredible work we're doing here that I think a lot of times gets overlooked by American politics or whatever's happening right now. That's what we've been talking about in the last segment is, I think there's a misunderstanding of how the world works. We kind of feel very isolated in America in the way that society is, but we are everywhere. The ACLJ is everywhere. We have teams around the world doing incredible work, life-altering, life-threatening work that can get, again, like you said, very intense very intense topics, but we can actually see movement, positive movement. I think a lot of people think of this part of the world and may think, eh, it's lost cause.
Right. And this was really, I can't stress enough, you know, what a great outcome this was. The fact that, you know, after we did these applications, within 10 days, the Inspector General's office calls and says, we're not going to tolerate this. We've put the police on notice to let this Muslim community know that this type of action will not be tolerated here. And that is a huge win, not only for our client, as Jordan said, who got to be reunited with his small children and will not have these threats, but really for the whole Christian community, because the Muslim community has been put on notice that this kind of action will not be tolerated.
All right. I want to take a call coming in. Val in Texas on line one. Hey, Val.
Hey, how are y'all doing today? And thank you for allowing me to ask you a question.
Thanks, Val.
I was wondering, I feel like fentanyl is an epidemic right now. I mean, it's way past, you know, it's being just drug trafficked and things like that. It's an epidemic. And minor children are starting to die from the candy fentanyl that they've been handing out. My question is, will the ACLJ be filing anything against the executive branch or any other, you know, Homeland Security or the FBI or anything for them not?
It's our government's inaction. Our job is to expose it, and so that you can then decide if you want that government in charge. You know, it's hard to bring legal direct actions against the government. You can. We've done it with the IRS. And where it starts with FOIA. And I know we preach that a lot. We've already got the FOIA in on this.
Let me explain what that is. People don't know.
The Freedom of Information Act request. It allows you to go to the government to say, you know, we saw this information, like on fentanyl, or at the border, or both, combine it together. And for instance, I'll quote our FOIA, the border. It's a FOIA, you know, the heading is on the border, but it requests documents related to, quote, what actions are being taken to protect Americans from crime, terror, drugs, trafficking, or border crossers who are on the terror watch list. So it's all there, and then we fight to get those documents. Are they doing anything? We talked about it. It's like become a partisan issue, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's almost become like a boogeyman scenario, the fentanyl crisis, except for it's actually killing millions of people, and we don't seem to be taking it very seriously. I saw a lot of people, you know, when, truth be told, when it became a, you know, Val brought up, like, for children, we know that there has been children who've just come in contact with it that have died or have had severe medical emergencies. Same with just people who've come in contact with this substance. The problem is it almost becomes a situation where you start talking about, oh, are they going to put fentanyl in our kids' Halloween buckets? And that almost trivializes it as much as it is a real concern. We've trivialized a real concern and a concern that is actively killing thousands of people a week. But for some reason, like you said, it's become politics. It's become how we treat people at the border. It hasn't become it really should be maybe the most unifying piece of American life right now, saying, not unlike the AIDS crisis, not unlike a lot of these, where you have to go and say, okay, there are things that can be done. Let's start to implement them. Let's get behind it and push forward. Instead, it becomes conservative versus liberal. And for some reason, the break with the liberal is, oh, the fentanyl crisis is nothing. The break with the conservatives is it's everything. And we need to figure out how to actually get people educated and then how to stop it. And I'm deeply concerned that it has become a topic that it's been trivialized.
You know, folks, all this work that we do is because of your financial support of the ACLJ. If you can, donate today at ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge. You can double the impact of your donation. What that means is that it's not like the crazy political ones you get in these texts with a 700 times match and all of that. This is what we have is a group of donors that will match your donation. That's that. So if you donate $30, they will match that $30. So it's like giving $60 to the ACLJ. So it's a good time that if you've had to cut back on your charitable contributions because of the economy, we understand that. It's why we launched these matches now so that you can still have the same impact with your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. And Logan, that's great place for people to go.
Go to ACLJ.org. Look at the incredible content that's on there for absolutely free. You need to go take a look at that. However, if you can financially support, this is the perfect time to do it. Headed towards the end of the year, some of the most important months of the year. All you need to do is make a donation, and effectively, it is doubled. So we understand people are under financial problems right now, but if you can, if it's $5, we would appreciate it. ACLJ.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, too. Now we're going to start taking.
All right, big so we'll open up the lines. Big announcement coming tonight.
You never can confirm anything. 100%.
I don't think with President Trump you could ever confirm anything until it is said, until it happens. Look, this last week I got all the calls saying, is it happening? Today I got all the calls saying, is it happening? I mean,
it'd be pretty tough for him to walk off this ledge now without...
It'd have to be something pretty big. So he's making an announcement tonight. It's unclear on who will be airing it, where you'll be able to even see this. Online, obviously your RSBNs and your... probably on Newsmax and some of the more hard right groups. We know that they cover them.
It's not going to be on your ABC, it'll be on Rumble. ABC, CBS.
No, it'll be on Rumble, I'm sure, through the RSBN.
We're not even sure if Fox News is taking it all.
I'd kind of be surprised if they did, unless they're given ahead of time, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because...
Which is typical, by the way.
You don't have to take the live speeches of everybody announcing for president, because there's lots of them, you know, ultimately. And I think that's the other question here. What I'm picking up, folks, and I want to hear if you're hearing the same thing in your grassroots communities. Because if you're listening to a broadcast like ours, you're active, and you pick up the phone to call us and talk to us. What I want to know is, are you in your community saying, like, yeah, but three or four other people may run, and you're not, like, 100% against them doing that?
Yeah. I more look at...
1-800-684-3110. Just, there's no right or wrongs with us on this.
Yeah, we're not even going to give you necessarily our opinions on that. We just want to hear you. My only opinion of this, it just feels incredibly early. It feels 2 years out. We're not even...
After a lot of losses.
After a lot of losses, we're not even quite done with this last election. We don't know if we have the House 100%. We know we lost the Senate. And you look at it and go, man, is this just way too early to start riling people up? 2 years is a long time to keep people excited about anything, much less a political campaign. 2 years is also a long time for people to get way too obsessed and unhinged on both sides. So I don't know. It's not about whether I support or don't support Trump running. To me, it's more, I don't know if this is the best time. But there's no way to know that. I mean, I can't think of another political campaign that started this early publicly. Obviously, you know, in politics, there are people who they start running essentially years and years out.
Yeah.
The difference is it's more private. It's more, we're having a meeting with 100 people. We're having a meeting with 50 people. We're talking about it.
This is, or this
for
an official
exploratory committee.
You officially announce that you're running.
Yeah, this isn't exploratory.
A lot of laws kick in, even if it is exploratory.
Yeah.
That you're exploring the run for president, you're announcing the run for president. All these laws kick in about your different organizations, how they can no longer work together, basically. So you have to use hard money. You have to raise money to travel every time he goes anywhere on his plane. If it's for the purposes of being a presidential candidate, the campaign has to pay for it. Not out of dark money funds, but out of actual campaign donations. So the question to all of you is, one, are you still on the Trump train? Two, regardless, yes or no, is this too early? And three, is it weird because we just lost so many races, yeah, including...
More even like you said, are you open to
him? Concede yet?
I don't believe so, but it's been called by most major outlets. I think my all
this
outlets.
This is not a good night for MAGA candidates.
No.
Or a week and a half, as long as it takes.
So, and I think there's also, to caveat one more of that, would be, are you willing to say, I would consider voting for President Trump, but I would like to hear from a dozen more? Because yeah, that's how traditionally this would go. This wasn't a incumbent president.
Yeah,
in some
sense.
Yeah, you
support him announcing and Ron DeSantis and Mike Pompeo, and the list goes on and on.
Yeah, the whole list. Ted Cruz again. Who cares?
Haley, throw them all in there. And Tim Scott and Youngkin. I mean, I can keep going.
Yeah. And those names are all going to...
Kip in Georgia.
A lot of them will start to reveal themselves. They already have, very quickly. The question is, do they react to President Trump's announcement, or do they all sit back and go, it is way too soon? Let him do his thing for 6 months, burn people out potentially, and then we come in and save the day. So we'll see. It could be a pretty interesting time to. It's gonna be an interesting time because of how soon this is from the last election days.
And we're still got a runoff.
Yeah, and we still have a House that's undecided.
And we're one seat away.
I mean,
so it looks like Republicans are gonna take it. We did not take the Senate, and we lost a lot of his most high-profile candidates did lose.
Yeah, if the red tsunami had come, this would be a lot different of an event tonight.
I don't think we'd be asking people the question.
Right. All right, we'll be right back on Seculo.
spectacular. We're going to start taking those Trump calls. We want to have time to get those calls in. 1-800-684-3110, 9 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Everyone assuming this is a formal announcement to run for president. It's listen, he's getting criticism from his own supporters, from people who still want him to run, but don't think this is necessarily the right time. Other people who think, why not? Like, just get it started. Might as well. We live in, like, never-ending politics, so who cares if it's 3 months from now? What I have picked up, folks, I'll just tell you. Yeah, this isn't so much grassroots as it is the actual leaders. People are not afraid to run. I'm getting lists like 8 to 12 candidates already.
If Trump announces, even.
Regardless, yeah, they don't care.
Because I think that was the general thought.
They
first,
think his
was
support
he was gonna
has
scare
gone
people.
Down to the 20s, which means he could be beat in a primary.
Yeah.
If your numbers are like the 30s, it's much tougher. And there's even polls showing DeSantis beating him in a multi-candidate. Now, that's right now, DeSantis is having a moment.
Right.
He also, you know, he's not going to be announcing next week, I don't think.
No, and even when they do announce, usually I think of a lot of different candidates that have their moment and then fade out.
Works for some of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's excitement always in those campaigns. There's always someone that spikes on both sides.
Yep.
And then usually someone else comes out and sort of emerges as the leader. And that happened with Biden this last time. I wouldn't have expected that to be who we ended up going with as Democrats went with. But they still did. They went with sort of the safety and security of someone they knew over someone they didn't know who probably could provide a better.
Yeah, we're still seeing a lot of fraud comments in the chat. People not realizing we just got beat.
Oh, yeah.
Maricopa was horrible. If you want to point to anything where people maybe didn't have the chance to vote, that's it.
Yeah, in a full week.
But I can't point to anywhere else.
No, I think that this should be at least a mental referendum. Yeah, a big wake-up call for all of us. For like I said, I think we got outplayed a lot on social media. I think we got outplayed a lot on anyone under the age of 40.
Now, I want to go to this story before we start taking your calls on Trump, which we're going to do, and we're going to do for the final segment as well. So if you're hanging on the line, hang there. We're going to spend the whole final segment on it. But Harry Hutchins here, our director of policy. Harry, there's $1 billion was spent in Afghanistan after the withdrawal. The White House is refusing, this is Taliban-controlled Afghanistan, to explain what it was used for.
I think they are refusing to do so, largely because, this is just my intuition, I don't have absolute proof, but I think the U.S. government has essentially been bribing the Taliban, and so they don't want to release the information, not to you and I, but to the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction. So the Inspector General has gone to the State Department, has gone to the U.S. aid agency, and both of those areas of government, they have refused to cooperate. So my intuition says the Biden administration has something to hide, just like they had something to hide with respect to the Inflation Reduction Act, just like the Biden administration has something to hide with respect to U.S. energy policy. So as gasoline prices have exploded in the United States, the Biden administration is not trumpeting the fact that we're sending energy, fossil fuel, to Western Europe. This then drives up energy prices in New England. So the Biden administration hasn't been the most truthful administration in U.S. history.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. I feel like there's ways to answer this question without even like having to like say for intel purposes, security purposes.
They're spending the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there's...
But instead they leave it up in the air, which causes everybody to say, what is going on here with our resources?
Yeah, and we had done a lot of deep diving on what was happening in Afghanistan. We did a 10-part series. We did a lot. And to see that there's still this money on the table does make everyone a little concerned.
Yeah, who are we paying and who are we paying off?
Right.
I mean, that'd be the other question.
That's the problem. This is a government. We know who the government is now.
Right, are we paying them to do or not do something?
But
it's all speculation. They refuse to answer. It's $1 billion that was uncovered. So, I mean, Harry, do you think that with what you researched, are we anywhere closer to getting an answer?
I don't think so. And I think the Biden administration intends to stonewall the American people and the Special Inspector General until the next election cycle. I think the Biden administration has accurately calculated that this particular story, even though it's a very important story, it's not going to move the needle with respect to the reelection prospects for President Biden. And so the Biden administration, as I've suggested earlier, they've been notorious for not telling the American people the truth. That strategy, I think, has worked for them in the past. They believe it will work for them in the future.
All right. I want to play this out. Is question, are we paying the Taliban to fight ISIS affiliates?
Yeah, so this is the director of National Counterterrorism Center. You can hear her, Christine Byte 8.
From Afghanistan, the threat that I'm most concerned about is actually from the ISIS affiliate, the ISIS Khorasan affiliate. That's a group that has demonstrated a very significant capability against the Taliban in Afghanistan right now. They have conducted some attacks outside of Afghanistan in the immediate environs, and I am worried about their ambition for greater and wider spread attacks. And so it's a top priority for us.
So, I mean, that's certainly a potential. We're going to track this closely. Harry's going to track it closely. I want to address what I'm seeing going on in the chat with this fraud stuff. Someone actually wrote, they legally stole it. This is when you realize you guys are using the wrong language. You can't legally steal an election. You can, you know, so this idea again, that we will never win if all of you just sit on your hands and comment on chat rooms. I mean, that's just the problem. And it's easy to say, but writing the sentence, and I've seen it multiple times, legal fraud, legally they stole it. How about we use the laws like early voting?
They're not playing.
To win.
Yeah, they're
then
playing.
We stop complaining.
They're playing the legal game, if you will. That's fine.
Then, you all
then
are admitting it.
Yeah,
it's just to me. It's just like, come on, guys.
Well, you're right.
Donald Trump won't win, even if he is the nominee. If you sit on your hands
and don't rally people up and go do what you got to do, get people to vote,
and you tell everybody that everything is stolen from you, instead of just admitting that sometimes you lost the election.
Yeah, and it's a very, very divided country.
Yeah, and other than Maricopa, which had its issues, there and other small places here, there with...
I don't even hear people really talking about it.
Yeah, show some proof. Stop your conspiracy theories.
All right, well, we're going to take calls coming up in the next segment. I'm sure you have them. 1-800-684-3110. Sure, that went over very well, Jordan. 1-800-684-3110. Call, we'll take your calls coming up. I think when people see what we talked about earlier...
I want to win. I want to be with winners. Not just people who think that everything's going to get taken from them, but they can't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's a victim mentality. You got to break.
That's what it looks like.
The first, we talked about all these different topics today, and a lot of them all come down to sort of whether it was what's going on in the FBI, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening in the election. There is a general unease, though, among people that they're not getting the full truth. And that is sort of look, you're never going to get a full truth from your government. I think that there are some conspiracy theories that are probably more than just theories. But you do have to go, okay, what are the legal ways that we can respond? What are the actual ways we can respond? What's a FOIA request we can do? How can we expose the truth, actually tell people? And that's what we've done here for years. That's what we've done here for decades, is come out and show you the truth and then give you action that you can actually implement in your life. Unlike a lot of people who just want to come on the air, stir you up into a frenzy, and send you off in your way, we may stir you up a little bit into a frenzy, but we're going to hopefully provide some actual solutions to problems. We're actually going to at least attempt to expose the real truth, not just give you the fodder that you want. I think that's what Jordan was saying. We are here to actually give you the truth, not just to spin you out of control, so hopefully you decide to donate to us. Yeah. No, you donate and you support the work of the ACLJ because we are honest with you, we tell you the truth, and we go out, we actually do the work.
Yeah, if you had fraud, we could get involved. But guess what? No calls. No fraud. There were some voting issues. That's different than fraud. Machines don't work. I don't like how they count the votes. I don't like how they dump the votes. I think that's a game that they were playing, but they were the votes. At the end of the day, if you live in Arizona, you could elect a governor to change that. They didn't. Doesn't look like.
No.
So they're going to be dealing with Maricopa County for a few more election cycles.
We're going to hear that every few years. We'll just get right back to Maricopa.
Just know, like, if we knew, if we really, like, a lot of you say, I see the fraud, I was watching the fraud, why aren't you reporting that to the ACLJ? Why don't you go to aclj.org/help and actually give us the evidence, and we'll do something about it.
Well, I think that they just see the problem, and like, we've talked about the early voting situation, and it sort of happened with Trump, is when there are those dumps of ballots, and all of a sudden you went from winning a significant portion to then losing so quickly, it does feel Like, it's just not the way we've done elections for so long that it does feel odd. Like I said, it feels like we're not getting the full truth, even if it is.
I understand that. So get people to early vote. Stop demonizing that, because we've done that too. And we made it like a bad thing if you early vote. When I early voted, it was mostly getting attacked online.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
by a conservative.
I made sure I was going to cast my vote, so if it's something happened on election day.
Yeah, kids sick, raining, something like that.
Maybe a legal issue arises that we need to work on the ACLJ. I didn't have to worry about it. I knew my vote was counted. So,
we're going to take
your Trump calls.
We're going to take calls about that announcement tonight. You got, there's a line or two open. 1-800-684-3110. I'm sure they'll clear up. We'll take as many of these as absolutely possible. I do ask you to be respectful on air, use clean language, and do all that because we are broadcasting on terrestrial radio, and I'd appreciate it. So give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org.
Take your call. So 9 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time. Donald Trump takes center stage. We're expecting kids' toys are shrinking due to inflation.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That was kind of a Trump moment.
We all got very distracted from Fox News covering right now that the reason why the LOL doll and the Rainbow High dolls for girls are popular is because due to inflation,
they are huge.
The toys are shrinking.
My daughter has the Rainbow High doll.
The Rainbow High house is
like almost as tall as me.
So maybe they showed the wrong clip then because they showed Rainbow High. I think they meant the LOL dolls, which are incredibly tiny.
Yes. I don't know if that's true.
All right, let's take some calls.
Trump, 9 o'clock tonight. If he doesn't announce, I think he's going
to... Question also for you, will you be watching live? Because I feel like I got burned the last time where I tuned in and I was like
2 hours
enough.
Long.
Yeah, I feel like I'll be, you know, I'll waiting for the clips. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls.
This needs to be a serious moment if you're running for, you know, declaring again in a time when we just lost a lot of elections. It's a very hyper-partisan country.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens. Let's go to the phones.
All right, you want to go in order?
Yeah.
Let's go to Whitney. She's first up. Whitney in Texas, the great state of Texas. You're on the air.
Thanks so much for taking my call. I personally, and a lot of the people that I know in the suburbs here, we would really like to see Trump pass the mantle and find a new standard bearer for the Trump agenda and his great policies. We just feel, as a candidate, he's going to fraction or the party rather than bring it together. And I think, you know, what Secretary Pompeo said on your program before, we really need to focus on the right candidate in the right race.
Yeah, I think that's a sentiment that's happening a lot, Whitney, where people feel like maybe, and look, we can point to Georgia as much as we're Georgia Bulldogs fans and Herschel Walker fans. The governor ran away with it, defeated
against someone he barely beat 4 years ago.
Right, and Stacey Abrams, who is in a national figure, soundly defeated. And now you have a runoff. And really, he lost in terms of votes. Yep. It wasn't like a runoff and he's up. He was down. But technically, the law is the law with this, so we'll have a runoff. But that shows you that people weren't voting down ticket completely. So, Whitney, I think you're right in the sense of there are people who are supporters of President Trump's and are supporter of...
Well, I think MAGA is bigger than President Trump now.
And maybe that's what happened is when you had things like the Abraham Accords and the end of a lot of these of terrorism worldwide, you have people who go, yeah, he did a lot of great stuff. But the time has come.
I want to make America great again. I consider myself part of that movement and the ideas behind the movement. And I think now that the difference is, and again, I'm not giving my personal opinion because I want your opinions. I don't want you to feel like you can only give one opinion here.
No, I would love to hear from people who are full on excited for President Trump. I'll be honest, I see a lot of those in comments, I don't see a lot of those in calls.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So I'll tell you that. Like, sure, if you're watching on Rumble or you're watching on some of these, a lot of people in the comments are very much supportive of President Trump. We'll take some of those. But the people who actually picked up the phone to call us, to actually have their voice on the air, they don't necessarily feel that way. We do have two lines open right now, though. 1-800-684-3110. Let's try to screen them fast. 1-800-684-3110. Let's continue on. Let's go to Cheryl in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I ordinarily don't call, but I was listening to your show, and I don't, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, I do not support Trump running again. I think he fractured our country. He did some good things. I'm not discounting that. but he did some really, as he would say, really, really bad things. And I wouldn't support his running again.
So you want to see more candidates jump in, and you're not on the Trump train. And I think, again, that doesn't mean you're not, like you said, Joe, ideologically, you support a lot of those positions. You just want a different standard bearer.
Yeah. You want someone who is maybe more traditional.
Which is what we're used to when someone doesn't, when they lose elections, we move on, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, usually if you get the nomination, you got one chance.
Yeah.
So whether it was a Romney or someone like that, they get the nomination. Or they get one term. And that's what I'm saying is he had his chance, one term he won. And I think people go, okay, now let's try something new. We have a new group of conservatives, a fairly deep bench. Maybe that's where people are leaning. I'm not saying, again, one way or the other, but it does feel like the calls are like that. Again, and the comments go the other way. So it is split. The social media audience seems to be very much in line with a Trump loyalist. And then you go over here on the calls, and it's just not that way. What I don't want is for people to think we're only taking the calls that are anti-Trump. That's not true. I'm looking at the comments.
You don't know our personal opinion, which because I don't want to share to scare people off, because I'm not going to judge you based on this. People can vote for who they want in a primary, especially when they're mostly going to be really good conservative candidates. I will say this. If the timing was different, I'm not so against it. The timing to me is
the timing is off. I agree. It's too early. That's some of the calls we have.
Herschel Walker is still running for Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to shift everybody's attention to 2024.
Look, I'll be honest. Our phone screeners just said he's trying to find a call that's actually supportive of this. So if you are that person, I would encourage you to call and be respectful. And we'll try to get on the air. We're going to run out of time eventually. But let's go to Zach, who is calling in North Carolina. You're on the air quickly. Zach, you there? Move on from Zach.
Hey,
go ahead.
Sorry. Hey, I'm from North Carolina, and I just wanted to say I feel like we're losing the argument with the younger voters. I think the older voters are very they know the conservative government is good, but younger voters see the government as the solution, I think, ever since Obama. And I think that as we've really lost that argument with the younger voters.
You brought up that yesterday,
Jordan. I don't even think it's Obama so much as the handouts, and Republicans gave some of those handouts too. Mm-hmm. So when people started getting $1,400 checks, and now inflation's worse, and that causes inflation. And Republicans ran on, we're not going to give you any checks. We're going to take away your student loan bailout, your $10,000 check. And I think Zach is right, is a lot of young people said, you know what, inflation stinks. I'm not getting the job I want, but I would like that free check.
Yeah.
And I would like that loan forgiveness, which is in legal jeopardy, rightly so. But is it the right message to young people? We've got to do a lot of education.
All right, let's go to Stella, who's calling in New York. Maybe the last call of the day. We'll try. I know the phone lines are completely jammed, so I appreciate everyone calling. Stella, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I agree with the other callers. I feel like, Trump's time is up. He did great for the country. But he just has such a big ego, and he's just unwilling to pass the torch. And I see what's happening also in this. What I feel in this country is first we were, Democrats against Republicans or liberals against conservatives. Now it's even the, Trump supporters, we're splitting, we're divided.
Like
even Trump,
I get it. Like you're saying, like the Never Trump movement that happened in 2016, to where you're dividing your own party and one of them will win. A lot of calls have come in. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to probably any more today. If one could come in quickly, maybe, but so it looks
we got less
than a minute. Hopefully some of those people were some of the ones who commented.
We're going to talk about it again tomorrow, obviously.
Obviously, we're going to have to. Unless it is news. Yeah, unless this is another game, and who knows what people will think about that.
I don't know that people could take that. Like, if you're going to say you're going to announce, you're going to put that out, you almost have to at this point, or else the gamemanship. Like you said, we're like in perpetual elections.
We are.
If you want to do it, you want to go for it.
The other isn't even over. No. We don't know if we have the House.
Not yet. We're one away. Hopefully we'll have it by tomorrow when we're talking to you. Hopefully with our podcast later, we'll know.
That would be great. Yeah, we'll do Secular Brothers podcast today. We'll be doing
hoping
that.
Our friend Lauren Boebert gets to be 218.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
For those of you questioning her magnets.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know her personally. I said you're a friend. It's fine. 3 o'clock, we will be. I didn't want people to think that I'm like, we're buddies. I know. 3 o'clock, we'll be doing that show, secularbrothers.com. If you want to find a place to subscribe, you can do that on Rumble. You can do that on YouTube. You can find us on your podcast apps, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we will be there again today, roughly around 3 o'clock Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern. We drop new episodes. So you'll find us there. We put them up live on Rumble. That is live typically at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock Eastern. So find us there. See you later.